Well, hey, welcome into the Lone Star Playbook. I'm Jordan Scruggs. That is Eric Henry. Today, going to be talking some Texas football. This is Woodcrest says here. Horns 24/7's Chip Brown reported this morning Jaden Baugh is likely to enter, not likely, is expected to enter the transfer portal when it opens in January. I'm sure the Florida staff and Texas staff are just so happy at Chip about it. But hey, that's part of what journalism is. You report what people don't want out there. And with Jaden Baugh, one of the top running backs returning to college football next year. And if he does end up in the portal, is pretty much guaranteed to be a top three, top five running back in the portal. So some notable news there. Longhorns are obviously interested. They hired Florida's former running backs coach, Javarge Luke. He scouted, evaluated, recruited, and signed him. Actually flipped Jaden Baugh from Arkansas right before signing day. And, I mean, kind of makes you think, man, like Arkansas, y'all do a really good job of evaluating these big running backs. They got Rocket Sanders, Raheem Sanders before he left for South Carolina. And then almost had Jaden Baugh and lost him at the altar. So, you know, pretty big news. Obviously, with anything that is transfer portal related, you have to see it happen first. You have to see the player actually end up in the portal. But and I know this is something pretty much everyone that covers Texas has been having, you know, their ears out for, their eyes out for, looking for it. But I don't know. Any thoughts, Eric, just seeing that, getting a little closer to Jaden Baugh potentially going to the portal and being a Longhorn?
Yeah, first off, Jordan, appreciate you having me on for another Thursday. Shout out to my boy Cade watching the chat. Hook him. I see you there. Appreciate it. Here's the deal, right? You know that this is, I don't want to say it's a must have for Texas in my mind. I'd be curious to see, Jordan, what you think. I think it's a nice to have slash would like to have, only because you have the issues on the offensive line you need to address. You have linebacker you need to address, right? But with that being said, I expect Florida to do everything in their power to keep him, right? Whether that is going out and finding, I don't know, a $2 million offer. And maybe that's what it takes, right? You know, I saw, Jordan, some chatter on our boards talking about the fact that, man, does it really take, you know, 1.5, 1. Whatever to get a running back? Saying that I the person who commented said, I thought the running back position was kind of like the NFL where it's devalued. Not the case in college football. No player is like that in college football because it's all a matter of what your agent can drive, right? And how desperate a team is for said player. So yeah, it's definitely going to be it's going to be a topic of conversation. But as I said, I think it's one that is a, don't get me wrong, Jaden Baugh would be a very excellent piece on this team. But I still think, given what Texas faced last year, the real issue is going and finding an offensive line to stabilize that unit for Arch Manning's basically final year in college. And super quick, I saw some of the comments also talking about Ricky Stewart. You know, I believe, Jordan, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I'm pretty sure we reported that months ago because Ricky Stewart has been gone for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been practicing with the team or with the team since I don't know how long. And I mean, we've had the story already in the chamber waiting for him to announce it, I guess.
Okay.
Inside Texas has posted it, so I guess we're free to run it. We'll probably get that up right when I get off. But, yeah, it's expected. He hasn't been in practice for a while. It was an interesting development taking him to begin with. I mean, this is last season or last recruiting cycle in 2025 was a pretty down year in Texas for running backs. Longhorns obviously ended up with James Simon too in that class. And, you know, to be honest, James Simon kind of fell in Texas's lap. LSU took an early commitment from Harlan Berry. They wanted two running backs. The other running back that they ended up taking was JT Lindsey, who is now in prison, actually. He was the LSU running back who was harboring two fugitives wanted for murder. But that's, you know, another story. But LSU basically went to James Simon and said, hey, this kid wants to commit. You know, we want your commitment as well, but we can only take one of you, and he wants to do it sooner than later, and we're not going to wait around. And that was in April. He said, I want to wait. I want to take OBs. And LSU said, okay. they took JT Lindsey's commitment. They were full, stopped recruiting Simon. And then literally the day after that, he had a visit scheduled to go see Texas. So James Simon fell in their lap. And then regarding Ricky Stewart, I mean, I was told from several people in the high school coaching world and, you know, in the building in Austin that Tashard Choice viewed Ricky Stewart as the best running back in the state of Texas last cycle. Now, he was never ranked that, but, you know, rankings aren't exactly – they don't always match up with evaluations. Now, I remember hearing that and thinking, like, you know, what is Tashard Choice seeing? Because Ricky Stewart, you know, he's a good player. I mean, statistically right now, he's the 11th leading rusher in Texas high school football history. He's a four-year starter at Tyler Chapel Hill, led them to a state championship as a junior, was very successful. But, I mean, he was like a 5'10", 170-pounder that didn't have a ton to offer besides an elite first step, didn't have a ton of pass-catching experience, a lot of mileage on the tires. And, you know, did pretty well in East Texas versus 4A competition, but like there's levels to it, man. And I do think very quickly upon getting on campus, it was pretty evident to everyone that, hey, he probably cannot play at this level or at least in a game. So I don't know where he'll end up. I know Baylor loved him out of high school. Keenan Hall, their running backs coach, at one point had Ricky Stewart committed to SMU. And he decommitted from SMU about a week after Texas offered him. And then ended up committing to Texas the next time he was on campus about 3 months later in April. So wishing him the best. Would look at Baylor or SMU. You know, maybe he ends up somewhere else, somewhere smaller perhaps, in Abilene Christian or something. I'm really not sure. I think there might be some medical stuff there that's interesting. And, I mean, he's got to get his stuff in order. This guy just had a kid as well in the last year. So, NIL is probably going to be pretty important. I don't know what kind of offers he's going to end up fielding, but, you know, to wrap it up, this is very expected. Everyone that covers Texas is in and around Texas knew this was happening. So, yeah, that's the stuff on Ricky Stewart. And regarding Jaden Ball, in the comments of Chip's Jaden Ball story, I mean, a subscriber on our site posted highlights of Trey Wisner and Ball, and it's like, is Ball really better than Wisner? It's like, brother, are we really doing this? Like, yes. And I've said this several times. Of the nine Power 4 opponents Texas played this year, everyone besides San Jose State, Sam Houston, and UTEP, how many times did you look at the other team's running back and say, yeah, Trey Wisner's better than their guy, or Texas's room is better than their room? You couldn't say that a single time. And if you did, it was like maybe versus Kentucky or OU, but even then, like, those are debates. Like, there's an argument to be made there. So they had to upgrade. They will upgrade, whether that's Jaden Barr or another person. They're going to go try to find a difference maker running back in the portal. That's what Jaden Barr is. And I do think I know they're actively looking at difference makers at receiver in the portal. Now, they're not going to take two or three of them, but probably one. So offensive skill is definitely going to be upgraded next year. They have to do it. Arch Manning, obviously, it's his final year. And, I mean, what you brought up, even more important than upgrading the offensive skill positions, it's the offensive line. Like, the running backs, dynamic running backs set the ceiling, and it is what raises the ceiling for a run game. But you don't have a floor without an offense. Last year, Texas didn't have a floor for the run game. And a 1,000-yard rusher streak for Steve Sarkisian ended. And, you know, I also do want to provide the context. Like, yeah, Trey Wisner rushed for 1,000 yards last year, but it took 15, 16 games. He didn't do it in the regular season or by the end of the conference championship. So, I don't know. I do think, though, that, like I said, definitely going to be an upgrade at running back next year. Yeah, some other stuff here.
Jordan, do you think it's worth addressing, because this is the second time I've seen that name come up, Woodcrest's comment on Kerryus Kearney?
Yeah, it's, by the way, Kerryus Kearney.
My bad. But, go ahead.
Yeah, no word. Yeah, so Kerryus Kearney is a prospect I absolutely love. Now, Texas never offered this kid, but he's from a small town in Arkansas that's right on the border of Arkansas, Tennessee, Marion, Arkansas. It's, you know, just outside of Memphis or West Memphis. But awesome, awesome prospect. I mean, this kid is 6'5", 300-plus pounds and can do backflips. Like, total freak show. And LSU, honestly, like, got away with highway robbery. You know, I've talked about their strategy. where for in-state kids, they can kind of be like, you know, Eric, we're going to pay you $50,000. And Eric's like, holy shit. Because, you know, he comes from a small town. His family's never seen money like that. That is exactly what happened with Carey's Kirk. And he ended up starting, I believe, 5 games for them. I know he played in 7 or 8 this year. Started 4 of those games at right tackle, 1 at left tackle. Can play either. We ranked slash projected him as a guard out of high school. But in college, can be a tackle. Definitely probably a guard in the NFL, though. Doesn't have the longest arms. But, I mean, early on, he's the premier offensive lineman in the transfer portal. You know, 3 years of eligibility left. Texas didn't offer to recruit him out of high school. And honestly, I don't see a way he ends up at Texas unless he's buying into playing guard. But I definitely think he can do it. And also, you could get 2 years of starting play out of him because he was a true freshman last year. So I saw Pete Nakos at On3 came out with the story of, you know, the early schools to watch. Texas was not in there. It was like A&M, Arkansas, of course, you know, his home state, Ole Miss, Mizzou. And he did choose LSU over Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Mizzou out of high school. Mississippi State was in there. I think Kentucky was in there. And I think also Penn State. So not sure on Texas. He's going to be one of the higher priced, you know, O linemen in the portal. But in my opinion, it'd be worth it to pay him because there is so much to work with there. And I mean, this is a guy I've loved going back to high school. So another thing, too. He also has a kid that is somewhere between 1 and 2 years old now. So NIL is very likely to be the driving factor there. And I mean, it's not like it isn't even for the guys that don't already have kids. But yeah, so I love Carey's Kern. Don't know how realistic he is for Texas, but that dude's a baller. He's going to play football for a long time. Yeah, but I saw yesterday you did a story on potential O-line targets, kind of teased us with it at the end of yesterday's show. I guess just speak on that. Any guys you like? I know some of them are G5 guys, and you know, you bring up their rankings and ratings because people are like, oh, why would Texas want this guy? And it's like, well, he was ranked higher than this guy, this guy, this guy, and this guy that Texas took out of high school. So I don't know. Floor is yours.
Yeah, no, I'll run through it. That's the reason I actually asked you to bring up Carey's Kern, because A, I had someone who asked, hey, how come you didn't include Carey's Kern? Little inside baseball. I wrote the story prior to Kern being in the portal. I set it to run later, so he wasn't available at the time. So there's that. B, and this is what, you know, I'll run through the names on the list, and then I want to kind of bounce this off of Jordan to get his thoughts as someone who can speak to some of the guys who are going to be high prospects, high talents. I prioritized people who have played football, right? Because I think for Texas, again, I'll emphasize this and I can't emphasize this enough. You got one more year of Arch left, right? You need people who have played football. I think that is, for me, if I were Steve Sarkisian, that would be the prerequisite, right? They've played, they've shown they've at least done something. Not that Kern hasn't, right? He started, you know, a handful of games, but guys who've played at least 700, 800, 900 snaps of collegiate football. So that was kind of the starting point there. So I'll run through some of the names. Again, it's so awkward to do this because of the fact that you basically have to look at players who are on other rosters, right? And be like, hey, is this a guy who, quite frankly, Texas could just buy out, right? That was where I was going with this. So I talked about Evan, and I'm going to mispronounce his last name. I think it's Tenskidall is how you pronounce that, from Cincinnati. Per Pro Football Focus, he's the highest graded interior offensive lineman who is not draft eligible this year. One other thing I'll add is I purposefully wanted to seek out guys who were not one-year rentals, guys who, in theory, Texas could have for multiple years. The highest graded interior offensive lineman who is not draft eligible this year. Classic, you know, G5 prospect, right? I have no sense he's in the Big 12 now, but when he was recruited by Cincy, they were a Group of Five team. Three-star prospect, as Jordan noted. So you'll say, all right, this kid started at Cincy. He's a three-star. He was actually graded higher than every interior offensive lineman Texas recruited, except for one, over their last three recruiting cycles. Okay. So that should give you an idea of the type of prospect he was. Certainly someone who, he's graded as an 88, right? And I don't have the exact rating on me, Jordan, but there were a bunch of guys who were either 87s or 88s, and his 88 was just a bit higher than every other, except for one. I'll have to go back and find the name in the story, right? So He's a guy to keep an eye on, played really well this year, been a two-year starter. This is, for me, what I think if you're just swinging for the fences. You got an Iowa offensive lineman kid by the name of Cade Piper. Again, classic late bloomer, right? A kid from Nebraska, was a 6'4", 230-pound D lineman. He goes to Iowa, redshirts, puts on 50 pounds, one of those corn-fed Midwestern kids who, you know, has the body to put on weight. He steps in, was the second highest graded offensive lineman. And this one, if you want someone who played at a Power 5 school, right? Again, multiple years of eligibility left. The thing there, just acknowledging the obvious, right? He's from Nebraska. Highly unlikely he's going to want to leave that area. That's why he's at Iowa. May not want to come down to Texas. But that there's that one. Then I have one name that's in the portal and one name that's local. The name that's local is Brock Riker, Texas mm-hmm. State Center. And I don't know if Jordan, if you know anything about this kid.
Dude, do you know where he went to high school?
Brock, Texas.
Yeah, Brock High School, and his name is Brock Riker. Yeah. It's kind of like if he ever makes it to the NFL on Sunday Night Football, people are going to think he's doing a bit like people do when Terrence Steele says Steele High School because he went to Cibolo Steele. Go ahead.
No, so since Jordan is actually familiar with Brock Riker, I'm going to make this quick and let him opine on Riker. But center at Texas State, redshirted last year, started this year, so you're getting multiple years of eligibility. Played fairly well. Again, if you look at the PFF ratings and just by the counting numbers, only allowed one sack. You know, had a couple penalties as expected for a redshirt freshman playing, but played over 800 snaps. That's a spot you know you need to identify. And the last name, as far as names who are in the portal, again, when I wrote this, this was the highest graded name in the portal per 247. That probably is going to change now with the additions coming in. But former UConn tackle Ben Morosky, he played guard last year, started at left tackle. The thing about him is his size. I don't know how you feel about this, Jordan. I'm not a, like, I get the big humans tagline. I'm not a fan of like 6'7", 6'8" guards. Right. And I think, you know, again, this is kind of splitting hairs. You can do it at like 6'4", 6'5". I think the way your body composition, 6'8", 335 is more of a tackle to me than anything else, right? So that's the thing. But he did play guard last year, played again over 700 snaps. The big thing, he was really good in run blocking, not great in pass pro. Allowed something like 24 pressures per Pro Football Focus for comparison point. The Texas player who allowed the most pressures this year was Brandon Baker, who allowed 21 in 805 snaps. So there is that. But now, if you've got anything on Riker, like I'm all, and I should have reached out to you yesterday, to be honest, and I just didn't. But yeah, go ahead and take from there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where he's at on the board, if he even is on the board, right, but right. He's one of the earlier guys that announced he was going in the portal earlier than most. When that happened, I do know Texas was checking him out. Thing with him, I mean, he's a center, could probably play center. Texas would probably want him to stay at center. And Connor Robertson can be back for his fifth year. That still seems TBD, but right now I do think he's going to be back and will start next year. Also saw a photo of him and Arch Manning, checked out Dirty Martins yesterday. Dirty Martins posted it. They love when those guys come through. They're always, you know, great to chop it up with the kitchen staff and all them. So I do think he's back next year. It's not official though. And then also behind him, Daniel Cruz, you know, for the last month, last few weeks, I've heard some things about Daniel Cruz potentially being a guy who will go in the portal. That hasn't happened yet. And with bowl practices, the extra practices they get with the opt-outs and, you know, portal guys, young guys are getting more opportunities than they ever have. And even the ones that didn't have opt-outs or portal departures at their position, they're also getting coached up more, and there's, you know, a bigger magnifying glass on them than ever before because they're kind of trying out for their spot next year to some degree. So Daniel Cruz, I think, is TBD. Jackson Christian can play center. Nicholas Robertson, the 2026 offensive line signing out of Klein, he can play center. They recruited him to play center, and he moved from tackle to center for a senior year. So not quite sure on Riker. And the thing, too, that is so interesting about the portal, like your market is what people will pay you. And Texas can see this guy as, hey, we like Brock Riker, we'll take him, but we can't pay him more than 250K. He's not worth more than that. But Mizzou might need a starting center, and I'll take 500K, buddy. Come on down.
Right.
And that's what it is. And you move on to the next guy and the next guy. So the reason I brought up Carius Kern is I just think someone's going to pay him true, you know, starting left tackle money in the SEC, which is probably seven figures minimum this year. You don't pay that for a guard, and you don't pay that for a guy who might not even be a guard in college like him. And on the flip side, like, I don't think there's any way in hell Jordan Seaton comes back next year, but, like, Texas is not going to pay Jordan Seaton money to him. They're not. And he also is a tackle. Like, they're not benching Baker or Trevor Goosby for that either. So I'm very curious how Texas is going to approach it. There's obviously another Texas State offensive lineman, Talek Lockett, who's originally from Florida, actually went to Miami Northwestern, where James Johnson's out of. I know he's being linked to Texas, and I do know he's on the board. I don't think that one's realistic either, because I think someone else is going to pay up for him.
Jordan, okay, I shouldn't shit on this on the air. Talek Lockett? Okay, let me give the background. All right, for those who don't know, Talek Lockett was at Texas State. His father, Telly Lockett, or he's coaching somewhere, but was at Florida State staff. Talek Lockett began his career at Marshall. So I remember him as a G5 player. Talek Lockett had a nice year at Marshall. Was it Marshall or Southern Miss? It might have been Southern Miss. I'm one of those G5.
I think players. He was at ULM before.
No, he was at ULM. It might have been, dear God, there's so many G5 schools. Anyhow, the point is, I covered the G5. I'm forgetting which school. He definitely was at ULM at one point. He had a good year, and I think the expectation was that he would go to Texas State and, like, really excel. That didn't really happen from people I talked with. Not that he was bad at Texas State, but he never took that next step. I just don't view Talek Lockett as a guy who – I understand offensive lineman is a premium, but, like, Talek Lockett is not the guy I'm thinking, all right, he's walking through the door and saving us, right? And so that's –
yeah.
I don't know how familiar you are with him as a player, but that's just my thing from him when he's coming at the G5s.
I'm with you, too. And, I mean, I've seen the schools linked to him. Like, one of them is going to stupidly overpay or offer more than Texas won't. So, yeah. By the way, here's a video of – so I can, I guess, tease y'all and y'all can maybe get your hopes up. Here's a video of Carius Kern doing backflips. It's like a 17-year-old. Like – freak show. I like this kid a lot. And they threw him into the fire at LSU, and he was great. So, yeah.
Just to clean that up, Telly Lockett was at Marshall, but also coached at Florida State. So that's where the Marshall connection came in. But, yeah, Jordan's right. ULM to Texas State. That was the route.
Got it. All right. So, got about 10 minutes left because you got to run early.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, I know you're not a recruiting guy by any means. I doubt you've watched any film on these guys or much at all if you have. But, like, what guys from the 2026 class are you excited to see, you know, once we get out there in spring ball during spring availabilities and just, I don't know, excited to cover these next few years because they obviously have a few big names. But, you know, it is a good ratio of high dollar play now, high ceiling players, and then the back half of the class, which is a year away from being a year away. But you don't have to pay them anything. So if they hit, you get great value. And if they don't, guess what? They go on the portal. So I don't know. Any thoughts, any guys you're excited about from the incoming class?
Yeah, Trot O'Neal. No, I'm just playing. I'm just playing on the fact that Jordan said that I don't do a ton of recruiting. So I just choose a long snapper. No, I guess I'm torn if I want to start with just low-hanging fruit Tyler Atkinson, or I want to start Richard Wesley. I think I'll start Richard Wesley just because the obvious, he's 16. But that frame, right? Everything. And I saw the video of him dunking a basketball. Like, you know, the athleticism is there. That frame.
Are you the kind of person who knows things? Things like you can get a domain from Squarespace, not just a website. Well, now you are that person because now you definitely know you can get a domain from Squarespace. Something like whisperingbloom.com for your silent retreat or whisperingboom.com for your shouting retreat. Whatever your dream, a Squarespace domain and website brings it to life. All in one place. Get yours before it's gone with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your domain or website. Terms and conditions apply.
When I did it on signing day, you know, like four or five players to watch just because of Sarkisian's quote. I guess Atkinson, especially because of the situation at linebacker, right? Like, and being super transparent, you and I had an hour-long car ride from his high school, from his area over to Athens. So we had a chance to talk about Atkinson a bit. So that would be one. Derek Cooper, you know, obviously a Floridian, South Florida running back like that. That is obviously going to intrigue me for sure. So those are three guys right there. I'm trying to think. I mean, Jermaine Bishop, you know, I've heard you talk about Jermaine Bishop a ton. So like, that's obvious. I'm trying to think of anyone else that's, you know, maybe not quite as low hanging fruit. You know, I'll go with another Floridian, James Johnson out of Fort Myers. I know he's from Miami, went to Miami Northwestern, but he was at North Fort Myers, Jordan, prior to that? I think it was North
Fort Myers. Yeah, he was at North Fort Myers. And ended up at Northwestern for a senior year and played in like three games before missing the rest of the year. So horrible ROI from Northwestern. But
for those who don't know, North Fort Myers is Deion Sanders' alma mater. North Fort Myers is the hood of Fort Myers, just for anyone who finds himself in Fort Myers. And it went down to Miami Northwestern. So yeah, those are a couple guys I'll rattle off.
Yeah. Regarding Wesley, I mean, I don't know, man. But I don't think he's redshirting. He's going to play in five or more regular season games. But I mean, like, to get him in, they'll probably stick him in on field goal and extra point, like the blocking units, not like when Texas is on defense on those units. And I do think he will play some. I mean, Ethan Burke didn't even redshirt. As crazy as that sounds, and he was a kid that Texas offered at 10 p.m. the night before signing day and was a lacrosse player that didn't even, like, play football until his junior year of high school either. So, I mean, look, at the end of the day, they have to play the best players. It's what it is. Like, yes, the financial investment makes an impact. You know, you don't want the investment on the bench, especially as, you know, freshmen that are making more than most of the team. But, I mean, he's a tremendous prospect. He had double-digit sacks, and he doesn't play in the Trinity League like versus Modern Day and St. John Bosco, but they're still playing pretty good competition out there in California. So can he make an early impact? Yeah, he can, but, I mean, I don't think he's going to have a season that Lance Jackson did this year, that Colin Simmons did last year, and he probably won't have the snap count of either of those guys either. So, you know, he's a guy to get excited about for sure, but – you got to remember, he's 16 right now, like Sark brought up. So I do think that was kind of Sark getting a little bit excited. But guy I'm excited about that you didn't bring up is a Capel I brought up, Jamarian Carlton. And I'm like 90% sure this is Jamarian's best friend, Zay. Shout out to you, by the way. Thanks for tuning in. But with Carlton, I mean, look, interior D-line, edge, buck, jack, it doesn't matter. He can project to so many things. 6'4" and a half, nearly a 7-foot wingspan, great head on his shoulders, great kid, super explosive on the hardwood. He's been Temple's best basketball player for 4 years in a row, and has God-given uncoachable traits that don't come around every recruiting cycle, especially in the state of Texas. So how much can he play year one? You know, I'm not sure. I do think he definitely has to get the body right, put some more weight on. I'm not worried about it because he is a frame that could, I mean, hold over 300 pounds pretty easily. I'm excited to see him. And the main thing I'm curious about whenever we do show up in spring ball for the media availabilities is, where is he? Is he with the Bucks, the Jacks? Is he with the interior D linemen? And what does the body look like? Because I mean, every time I've seen him almost for a year in a row now, he's holding more weight on his frame than he ever has. So, really impressive young man, impressive prospect, and, a guy I'm happy ended up at Texas and not Baylor. So, yeah, and then you brought up Atkinson. I mean, he'll probably have more year one snaps than any player on defense, I'd say. He's more ready to play than any linebacker in the 2026 class. And, you know, he's always treated with the pro mindset. Is he physically maxed out? A lot of people are worried about that. Yeah, you know, I think so a little bit, but it doesn't really matter. He's been all about the grind from the jump. He's watched a ton of tape his entire life. He's always been prepared. Coaches at Grayson can't say enough good things about him. I've even talked to other coaches in Georgia high school at Under Armour camps that played him and just talked about the impact he had, how hard it was getting ready to scheme that week for him. So Atkinson will play a lot. A guy I don't think gets enough love is Samori Matthews. I mean, he was thrown at 15 times this year and picked it off twice, and I think allowed like four receptions on those. So tremendous ball player out of North Carolina, wasn't tested much, really physical boundary corner. And the main thing we wanted to see from him as a senior, he's been great in camps and showcases and was one of those kids that got recruited like when he was going into his freshman year of high school. So he's been around for a long time. And at each showcase camp, invite-only thing he showed up to, he's been one of, if not the best players there, and consistently won at the catch point.
Nationwide is so much more than a great insurance company. They're one of America's largest financial services companies. Like how I'm more than just Peyton Manning. I'm also Motivating Manning. When I say insurance, you say financial services. Insurance.
Financial services.
Insurance.
Financial services.
Now when I say Nationwide, you say is both. Nationwide.
Is both.
Nationwide.
Is both.
For your insurance and financial needs, Nationwide is on your side.
Nationwide Investment Services Corporation, member FINRA, Columbus, Ohio.
So I love Samori Matthews. I think he's going to play a lot next year. Probably a similar snap count to what Cade Phillips played about the first 10 weeks of the season. And, you know, a bit down the road, but Kosha Pala, like tremendous athlete, 6'2", 6'2 and a half. He's about 230. He's like a plus six wing, played off the edge at the high school level, a lot of 2-point stance stuff. Also a bit of, you know, overhang defender roles, but never really played true off-ball backer. So he's going to have to learn that. But, you know, the good thing is if he can't learn that, he is really good off the edge. And this is a kid who, I don't want to call it identical, but incredibly similar testing data to what Colin Simmons had out of high school. And great young man. And one of the main things I like about him, too, he plays at the worst program in KDISD. KDISD is like 12 schools, and he plays at Maid Creek. It's in the worst part of town and never played in the playoffs. Never played in the playoffs. And every single offseason, schools in Houston would try to get him to transfer, and each time he stayed. His freshman and sophomore year, he was coached by Rashad Bobbino, former Texas linebacker. He ended up leaving to take another job. And then he refers to Brian Arakpo as his godbrother. Never heard that term until I met Kosi Apollo, but, you know, they're family friends. Arakpo went to Houston Lamar, obviously in Houston. When he was growing up, there's a pretty big Nigerian community in that part of town. Kosi Apollo and Arakpo are Nigerian, and his father was part of a, you know, a group of men in the area that helped kind of raise Arakpo and get him out of there, get him to Texas. So I told this story before. The first time I interviewed Kosi Apollo, it was like 3 days after they offered him, their second offer. It was his sophomore year. And, I mean, told me off record, like, I'm going to Texas. So that one was an easy one to cover. There was no drama at all. And, you know, you look at the schools that develop and recruit linebackers really well. Like, Penn State desperately wanted him, but he didn't like Happy Valley or the cold. Miami really wanted him towards the end once they discovered him, but they were kind of too late to the process. If they came around as a sophomore, he could have ended up there. So, I really like him. I'm excited for him. Probably not going to do much year one outside of special teams, but is going to be an impact guy in the future. I mean, kind of like if he successfully pans out, he'll be basically what Trey Moore was this year on steroids, because he's more explosive than he is, better chase down speed and all that. So, yeah. But Jose's got a question. Said, Eric, I just joined. Has there been any talk around Dwayne Akina or Chris Jackson? Chris Jackson has an expiring contract and Akina is old.
I'm not going to lie. I saw that coming. It's just the Akina is old part just made me laugh. Jordan and I have been talking about it all, at least, let me take it back, not all week, but we talked about it yesterday. Conversation still basically what we talked about, right? You know, the Chris Jackson situation, as Jordan noted. There was, you know, some NFL interest last year, but teams don't want to pay buyouts. NFL teams aren't. And in that business, this is in college football, right? So there's that. It's a situation definitely to keep an eye on. You got to see, you know, what's going on in terms of post the contract running out, right? I mean, not there yet. It ends after the bowl game. So we'll definitely keep an eye on that. Dwayne Akina, definitely another topic of conversation as far as whether or not he will be back. You know, I still wonder maybe if there is there a – And I say this respectfully, like both Akina and Texas, you know, is there a situation where maybe he could take a lesser role, one that's not necessarily what he's doing specifically now? Would he even want to do that, right? Would he view that as an insult, right? You know, that's certainly something to keep an eye on. But there hasn't been any news, you know, post what we've been talking about, which is spots to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I do think we're going to have an answer on those two once we get out of the bowl game, and probably an answer on if Kyle Flood is back or not. So, yeah, and Antoine, I have heard of like godparents, godmothers, godfathers, but no one has ever – I've never heard about a godbrother or anything like that. But yeah, all right. This is a great question. Eric, you can answer it first because I know you got to run. But looking 2 years ahead to the 2027 season, first season without Arch, who do you think is the starting quarterback? That'll be a year three KJ Lacy battling a year two Diabel.
Yeah, Cade's a great question. You could have texted me, but that's cool. I'll answer it here. No, I think Diabel. I think Diabel is being paid, quite frankly, like a player who was going to assume those reins once Arch Manning leaves. Not that KJ Lacy didn't, you know, have his own NIL, but Diabel's kid is earning a nice penny to come to Texas. Also, I mean, listen, if Dia develops into the prospect that most people believe he can be, and I've seen Dia, you know, from the time he's in seventh grade, again, his dad went to FIU, he's from South Florida, you know, I was down there. Jordan will be able to give more, you know, kind of in-depth recruiting analysis, but I think just taking a look at both, it's not that KJ Lacy isn't a nice player, isn't someone who deserves to be at Texas. I think the belief is that Dia's ceiling is higher than KJ Lacy. Jordan can let me know if I'm off base on that or not.
Working across teams is tough, but Asana helps you handle it. That's because Asana is where humans and AI coordinate work together. AI can spot roadblocks and assign work in a snap, so everything and everyone stays on track. That's how work gets handled. That's Asana. Visit us at asana.com. That's ASANA.com.
Started 23 games at South Lake Carroll. Like, that is nuts.
Right.
And so my expectations are a bit tempered for him. His season, back-to-back season-ending injuries. As a junior, it happened in the playoffs, leg injury. As a senior, it was a shoulder injury. Like, the injuries, he has to stay healthy. But, I mean, whoever wins that battle, like, whoever loses is gone. Because if KJ wins, he's probably going to want to start in 27 and 28. That means Dia would have to wait till year four to play. And if Dia wins, then KJ would have to wait till like year five to play. And I don't think either of that is happening. So 2027 quarterback is a lot more important and a lot more important than I think anyone realizes because of the Dia injury stuff and the fact that, like, yes, he's ranked higher. Yes, he won the Elite 11. Yes, he has a high ceiling, but he's not – like, it's not guaranteed for him to just come in right away and ball out. Like, there's going to be an adjustment period. Shit, Arch Manning had more starts, more career games played, more pass attempts than anyone Texas has signed, and even he had a grace period, a struggling period at first. So, yeah, going to be very interesting to watch. But I know you got to run, so yeah. Get out of here.
The basketball press, appreciate it, my guy. Do it again next week.
Oh, yeah. Peace. All right, so I'm going to close it out here in a few minutes. If you have any recruiting questions, holler at me and I'll answer them before I roll over to AT&T Stadium. Missed Munster versus Shiner this morning, but going to be seeing Grandview versus Yoakum. I have no idea who Grandview has. Who was talking about Grandview earlier? Patrick, tell me about the Zebras because I don't know anything about them. But I do know Yoakum, home of former Longhorn Joshua Moore, who lost his mind. But Yoakum has Xavier Barnett. He's an SMU signee. I have no idea what the hell he's going to play at SMU. He's like 6'3", 190, sub-11 kid, had like a 20-foot long jump. I think he went 6'3", or 6'4", in the high jump. And, I mean, I found that kid his freshman year. I was going through track stuff, and I was like, holy shit, Yoakum has a 6'3 kid that played varsity, had like 500 receiving yards, 40 tackles. He did this on the track. And it just never took off because he, like, still doesn't really have a primary position. I assume SMU is going to try to get him to play linebacker or something like that, or maybe a jumbo nickel, that Buffalo nickel role. But even then, I mean, I don't know. So I'm fascinated to see him. I've seen him in person working out at camps before, but I've never seen him with pads. And then Yoakum has a freshman running back named Jamarquise Robinson that has like Texas State, UTSA, I think UNT, you know, the classic early offers in the state of Texas. And he's their RB1. I believe he's already over 1,000 yards on the year. And, you know, he's on the shorter side, 5'7", 5'8", but he's a freshman. He's got time, and he's got it. So probably going to be a power forward kid. And then the 382 game, I don't know anything about Wall, but I'm pretty sure they're supposed to get run off the field anyways. Newton, on the other hand, has a sophomore running back named Kendre Porter Jr. He goes by KJ Porter, and he is the younger half-brother of Raylan Adams, who went to Newton and is at Sam Houston State. Y'all probably have no idea who I'm talking about because he was like an 87 three-star, but Raylan Adams is a fucking monster at Newton. I mean, like back-to-back 1,000-plus yards receiving, ended up playing QB for them at times, was their leading tackler, and had like, I think, 11 interceptions in his career as a safety too. A few return touchdowns. I mean, just a small school monster. And I'm pretty sure played at Sam Houston this year and year two and actually got snaps in that receiver. So I'm excited to see KJ Porter. I would cover Raylan Adams because he played for a 7-on-7 team, and I knew the owner or the guy who runs that program pretty well. And I remember, you know, seeing Porter when he was like a little kid. So excited to see him, you know, today in Jerry World when he's trying to get his team a state championship. But yeah. Yeah, TJ Finley does need to hang it up. He needs to make an Indeed profile and a LinkedIn. Yeah. Oh, Rodney Smith won its second state championship. He must have played six-man ball, huh? Because I think Hamilton was the only 11-man school, and I think they already had that was their first ring. So, but nonetheless, congrats. Yeah, Wags brought it up. Nick and I are not going to be on the show tomorrow. We are both going to be at the state championship game. So, yeah, but for those curious, here is a look at the rest of the state championship slate. If you want to watch these games, they are free. You just have to go to victoryplus.com and create an account. Again, you do not need to put your credit card or debit card or your PayPal, any of that into it. Just to create an account, your email, password, it's pretty easy. And you can watch the game for free on a live stream. I also believe like on smart TVs, on Apple TVs or Samsung, they have a Victory Plus app where you can watch it there if you don't want to like airplay it off your phone or your computer. So, yeah, but tomorrow, Stephenville versus Kilgore, Carthage versus West Orange Stark, Frisco.
Mike Cappell here, Patriot Software's founder. My first business startup was in the basement of a factory. We had no customers, just rats, birds, flies, and snakes. We were broke. One day, my nephew asked me to buy candy bars from his school, only $12, the exact amount we had in our checking account. We wrote the check and prayed God would send more. He did. That's why I created Patriot Software, to help entrepreneurs do their accounting and payroll without going broke. That's patriotsoftware.com.
DeSoto are in the same district, and North Shore and CE King are in the same district, and they both have bordering school zones, both of them. So pretty crazy. Obviously, that South Dallas district is called the District of Doom. The North Shore CE King district doesn't have a nickname like that, but it is very talented. Humble Atascocita, Humble Summer Creek are also in there. I mean, Summer Creek played for a state championship in the last 2 years as well. So a lot of good football coming up this week, and looking forward to getting over to Jerry World. Okay, Patrick, put me on to Grandview and Jayton. And that's where Rodney Smith went to Jayton. CBS, whatever happened to Fox Sports Southwest? It's a great question, but I'm taking Victory Plus over Fox Sports Southwest, Bally Sports. Like, basically no one had those channels, and so it was very hard for the state to watch some of these games if they weren't there. But excited to for, you know, people to see it on Victory Plus. This will be the last one I answer before I run. Antoine said, any thoughts on Ray Gates leaving North Crowley? Yeah, this has been in the works for a few weeks. I mean, since they hired Neil Brown, pretty much. But, you know, guys want to move up. They want to coach in college. Ray Gates won a state championship, turned North Crowley around. I mean, they've lost, I think, three games in the last three seasons, and two of those losses came this year. And of the losses, it was Duncanville, Allen, and Rockwall, you know, pretty good. But he had a really good senior group after graduating a really good senior group last year. So I don't want to say jumping off the ship, you know, before the talent pool weekends, but they are losing a really good senior group. Obviously, John Turntine's in there. Aaron Bradshaw, the safety, going to Texas Tech. And then last year, I mean, they sent Quentin Gibson to Colorado, Chris Jimerson to North Texas. And then they had two running backs who went power four as well. So I don't know who North Crowley will hire. I think they're either going to promote from within or they're going to go try to hire Eli Reinhardt back. Eli Reinhardt is or was in his first year as the head coach at Hutto going into year two. And before Hutto, he was North Crowley's offensive coordinator and was their OC whenever they made it to the state championship and the state semifinals the year before. And before North Crowley, he was at Austin Anderson, where he coached Ed Small and was actually who put me on to Ed Small early on. So I think Eli Reinhardt's one to watch. You know, I love Austin area football, Centex football. It's where I'm from. And I think, you know, the football community down there is a better place when schools like Hutto are good. But he is a guy that I think is going to be coaching in college one day. And I think North Crowley, if they have their ducks in order, the first call has to be Eli Reinhardt. So, yeah, those are my thoughts. But regardless, North Crowley's going to be okay. When you get a coach in there like Gates who builds sustained success and they, you know, they hit the portal a little bit, they got some young kids in there who got offers. I mean, they're going to be fine. They're going to be back in the playoffs next year in the thick of it and contending for a title. So, yeah, Texas high school football is in a great spot. But getting out of here, up next, this week's edition of the Stampede Podcast with Bob Ballou, Vince Young, and Mac Brown. You can check that out on the Texas Sports Unfiltered app. Like I said, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to end the stream, but at 2 p.m., Chip and Zay will be back on the stream. YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, wherever you get your live stream from. And I'll see you on Monday. You all have a great weekend. Should be a great weekend of state championships, and peace.